Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains ghosts. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian. I said your name weird. Killian, picture this. The Hawaiian forest you find yourself in is thick with humidity, and the mosquitoes are buzzing around you, hungry for human flesh.
No blood.
You swap them away as you wander through the night. As if by magic, a series of torches burst to life in the distance, like they had been conjured out of thin air. You hear the thump of drums and the stomping of feet. 100 ethereal men carrying torches and weapons march towards you. Killian, who are these spirits? They are the Death Marchers of Hawaii.
Eek.
Let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Okay, so we want to start things off by giving a spooky thank you to our friend Evelyn for suggesting the Night Marchers. So thank you, Evelyn. Thank you.
Evelyn.
There we go. Okay, so Killian, to start off with, what do you know about Death Marchers?
They march and they're dead.
Fair point. From our intro, what can you assume about the Death Marchers? What do you think they are?
I think they're dead army men and they're trying to get even with the people who killed them.
So ghost warriors. I don't think you're far off, but hold on. So I think we will start today with a story and then break into the lore. How does it sound?
Okay.
So the story is called The Path of Night.
It sounds like something that Sarah J. Moss would make a title out of.
Yeah, it does. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Lonnie always loved the quiet of the Hawaiian forest. The way the ferns brushed against her legs as she walked, the soft rustling of leaves in the wind, and the sweet fragrance of male vines mixed with the earthy scent of damp soil. The forest was her refuge, a place where she could escape her busy life and lose herself in nature. But tonight was different. The moon hung low, casting an eerie silver glow over the landscape. Lonnie's grandmother had warned her not to venture into the forest after dark, especially on nights when the moon was full. "The night marchers walk tonight," she said, her voice laced with seriousness that Lonnie rarely heard. "They are not to be disturbed." But Lonnie, being young and curious, had dismissed the warnings as mere superstition. She had grown up hearing the stories of the Hukaipau, the ghostly warriors who marched through the night, and while they always sent shivers down her spine, she couldn't resist the pull of the forest. She needed to see it for herself. As she stepped deeper into the woods, the familiar sounds of the night surrounded her. Crickets chirping, the distant call of an owl, and the gentle rustle of leaves. But beneath these natural sounds, there was something else. A low hum like the distant beat of drums, so faint that she almost missed it. Lonnie paused, straining her ears, but the sound seemed to fade away, replaced by the usual forest sounds. Shaking off her unease, she continued, determined to see the spirits. The further Lonnie walked, the quieter the forest became. The air grew heavy and thick with a scent that she couldn't quite place, a mix of burning wood and something metallic, like iron. The night seemed to press in on her from all sides. The once comforting darkness now feeling more like a living, breathing entity, watching her, pulling her, waiting for her. Suddenly, the hum grew louder. It was unmistakable, a pounding that echoed through the trees. Lonnie's heart raced as she realized the sound was coming from ahead, directly on the path that she was walking. Panic seized her, but she forced herself to take a deep breath. Whatever skeptic curiosity she had was wearing thin. Were these the night marchers? As she crested a small hill, the sight before her stopped her cold. A line of torches floated through the trees, bobbing up and down as if they were being held by unseen hands. The air filled with the unmistakable sound of conch shells blowing, a haunting melody that seemed to reach deep into her soul, pulling her closer even as every instinct screamed for her to run. Lonnie's feet moved of their own accord, carrying her off the path and into the cover of a large banyan tree. She crouched low, her heart hammering in her chest as she peered through the roots, barely daring to breathe. The procession was closer now, and she could make out the forms of men in traditional Hawaiian garb, their faces stern and expressionless, their eyes focused straight ahead. These were no ordinary men. They were warriors, their bodies shimmering with ethereal light, as if they were made of moonbeams and shadow. The smell of burning wood was overwhelming now, mingling with the scent of ocean salt, and Lonnie realized that the iron smell from before was the coppery tang of blood. The air crackled with energy, and Lonnie felt a strange vibration in the ground beneath her feet, as if the very earth trembled in the presence of these ancient spirits. She watched in terrified awe as the procession passed by, her hands trembling as she clutched the roots of the banyan tree. Then, to her horror, one of the warriors broke away from the line, eyes sweeping the forest as if searching for something or someone. Lonnie's breath caught in her throat as the warrior's gaze fell onto her hiding place. His eyes, glowing like embers, locked onto hers, and in that moment, she felt a surge of cold wash over her, freezing her in place. A voice echoed in her mind, clear and commanding. Lie down, face the earth, show respect, and you will be spared. Without hesitation, Lonnie obeyed. She pressed her face into the cool, damp soil, her entire body trembling as she heard the footsteps of the warrior drawing closer. The drumming grew louder, a deafening roar in her ears, and she squeezed her eyes shut, praying to the spirits to let her live. The footsteps stopped inches from her head. The warrior's presence was overwhelming, like a storm bearing down on her, and she could feel the weight of his gaze, heavy with the authority of centuries past. Lonnie's heart pounded so hard she thought it might explode. But she didn't move. She didn't even dare to breathe. Then, just as suddenly as they had come, the footsteps retreated. The drumming faded, the torches dimmed, and the air began to clear. The night returned to its normal rhythm, the crickets resuming their song as if nothing had happened. Slowly, Lonnie lifted her head, her body shaking with relief and exhaustion. The forest was still again, bathed in the glow of the moon. The night marchers were gone, their procession nothing more than a memory. But the lesson they left behind was seared into Lonnie's heart. She had come seeking adventure, but what she found was something far more profound. A deep respect for the spirits that still walk the land, guarding the sacred places and traditions of old. As she made her way back to the village, Lonnie couldn't help but glance over her shoulder, half expecting to see the torches once more. But the forest remained silent, as if it too was recovering from the passage of the night marchers. When she reached the edge of the trees, the first light of dawn was beginning to color the sky. Lonnie paused, looking back at the dark forest one last time. She whispered a quiet prayer of thanks, then turned and walked home, the sound and smells of the night still fresh in her mind. She knew she would never forget this night, and that she would carry the lesson of respect with her always. From that day on, whenever the moon was full and the air was thick with the promise of rain, Lonnie made sure to stay within the safety of her home, leaving the forest to the spirits that walked its path. And in doing so, she found a new kind of peace, one that came from knowing and respecting the world that she could not see, but always would believe in. What did you think of the story?
Good.
You liked it? So let's jump into the lore. In Hawaiian mythology, night marchers are the deadly ghosts of ancient tribal Hawaiian warriors. So you weren't totally wrong. You were pretty spot on what the death marchers was when you guessed that you said army or but warriors. So on nights honoring the Hawaiian guards, the Hawaiian gods, they are said to come from their burial sites or to rise up from the ocean and to march in large groups to ancient Hawaiian battle sites or other sacred places. The legend says that night marchers are normal-sized warriors, dressed for battle, carrying spears, clubs, and some are beating war drums and blowing tones from conch shells to announce the advancing of their march. According to the myth, they are suspended in the air. Their feet do not touch the ground or the water as they traverse through the night, and they leave no evidence of their visitation. They march in the darkness after sunset and march as a group until just before sunrise. Anyone living along their path may hear chanting, sounds of blown conch shells, and marching noises in the night. A foul, death-like odor surrounds the group as they make their way across the lands. Okay, so, Killian, what would you do if you encountered the night marchers? Would you stay to watch them or would you run and hide?
Run and hide.
Okay, so let's see what would happen to you. So the marches are customized to the taste of its honored warrior leader. A Hawaiian king or chief who is known to be fond of music would be honored with loud drumming and chanting. If the king or chief enjoyed peace and quiet, then the march would be as silent as possible. And if the king or chief did not like to walk around much, he would be carried in a sling by warriors.
What's a sling?
Like a carrier, which like sounds pretty nice. No, like a carrier on their body.
Oh.
So that actually sounds pretty nice. So you said that you would run away and hide if you encountered the death marchers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, in ancient Hawaiian lore, the laws declared body parts of kings or chiefs to be sacred and not to be seen by a mortal. So, want to guess what the punishment is for looking at night marchers?
What?
So, if you were to look at their honored leader, which you've already said you would run away and hide, so that does seem to be the right answer. But if you were to stay and look, it's instant death, usually by bolts of intense light and flaming heat originating from several of the warrior's eyes, aimed towards the mortal. The violating mortal is incinerated instantly, and their bodily remains dissipated as vapors. So you would literally cease to exist. It would just evaporate.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's what would happen to you if you looked at them. But thankfully,
that happens to the leader, not the...
Well, yes, if you were to look at the leader, yes.
Not one of the army.
The warriors, the tribemen, yeah. So no, but I mean, how will you know which one is the leader? It's better to just be...
Maybe the highest one up there.
Fair. Or it's probably just safe to just not look at any of them, just in case. So like, do what Lonnie from our story is now going to do, where she stays in her home where we think the night marchers are coming. Because we want to respect them as warriors, but also the land that they're marching on. So that's kind of it on the night marchers, which are actually, I think, pretty cool as far as ghosts. But I do know, I will say this. I've seen pictures that people have taken that they say or of night marchers. Now, it might not be true because we know how pictures can be fake sometimes.
Yeah, like people that were vaporized. Like people.
It's true. How did they take the picture and not be vaporized?
Yeah, and also it could be like they took a picture and then used Photoshop.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. They could have taken a normal picture and Photoshopped a night marcher in there.
Yeah.
Yes. Or always could, have like, a dose of healthy skepticism.
Like, make like seeing it a little badder, like you couldn't see it as well.
Oh, uh-huh. Make it a little more blurry.
Yeah.
So that you're like, well, is that a night marcher or is it not? Like that. Always have a healthy dose of skepticism when it comes to pictures of cryptids, ghosts, because you never know. Some people are a bunch of fakers. Mm-hmm. But it seems that they seem to be ghosts that deserve respect, and as long as they receive respect, they're happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that seems pretty easy to do, especially in a place as beautiful as Hawaii.
What does banter about his choice mean?
It just means talk about it. Okay, so like I said, that's kind of all the information we have on night marchers. So thank you again to Evelyn for, I think, a very creepy but a very cool suggestion. What do you think?
Thank you.
Did you like the death marchers or the night marchers?
Yes.
Night marchers. Yes, I thought they were very cool. So thank you again.
I'm calling them sun marchers.
Why would you call them sun marchers?
Because light die.
No, night.
What? No.
Oh.
Because you get killed by light.
Oh.
They have laser eyes.
Understood. Yes, it does seem that they have laser eyes.
Ooh. Like Lupin is looking at me. Stop looking at me. Yeah.
You tried to laser eye Lupin? Lupin the dog? Don't laser eye Lupin the dog, no. All right, well, that's pretty much all we have. So, thank you for listening.
I am Karina.
Oh, I'm Killian. And this has been...
The...
Cryptid...
Cato.
Catalog is one word.
Catalog.
There you go. And remember... Until next time... Remember
the
cryptids
are
watching.